You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
August the 17th, 2020, and so tonight, the Democrat National Convention for 2020 begins. It's going to be like no other convention, as will the Republican Convention, which begins 1 week from tonight. They're basically going to have main hubs for this viral broadcast from New York, L.A., Milwaukee, the supposed host city, and Biden's home of Wilmington, Delaware. And that's where he and his running mate, California Senator Kamala Harris, will deliver their speeches later in the week. You have, they say, MCs primarily broadcasting from L.A., leading each night's two-hour programs, and then speakers giving their remarks from historic locations around the country. Many of them are pre-taped. And a production truck will also be available to monitor hundreds of live feeds from across the country and Wilmington, Delaware, all of this to build excitement and add reaction, trying to keep folks engaged and tuned in.
Pardon me. I'm sorry. I'm yawning. I'm already thinking it may be very, very boring.
Opening speaker will be Michelle Obama. And, of course, in 2016, she's known for her speech at the DNC when she said, "When they go low, we go high." Well, that ain't what's happening with the Democrats nowadays, is it? So we'll see how it plays out. In the meantime, Nancy Pelosi suddenly worried that we need to have members of Congress come back early Friday and start to work Friday and Saturday through the weekend on new legislation dealing with the post office so we can get more mail-in ballots. She's blaming Trump for saying alarmingly across the nation the president's campaign to sabotage the election by manipulating the Postal Service to disenfranchise voters. And, of course, they're all saying so many folks are afraid to go vote because of coronavirus. Oh, they can get the streets in protest. Yeah, they can do that. With or without masks, that's not an issue. In the meantime, a CNN poll, a CNN survey shows where Biden had been leading Trump by 5, 6, 7, 9 points, it's virtual tie at this point. And when you look at 15 battleground states, in those states, Biden leading by just 1%. I don't want you to buy into these polls. I don't care if it said Trump's a winner by 40%. You make sure you get your vote in. And in the meantime, we have the violence in the streets continuing. And we got Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley, Democrat, saying we should have unrest in the streets as long as there's unrest in our lives. In other words, encouraging, not protest, peaceful, but violence, unrest. Last night in Portland, again, another night of rioting. It was so bad that at least 60 calls to 911 went unheeded. Police just could not respond. If you're in Portland, you're counting on the police. Good luck with that. You know, we have many cities talking about defunding their police. In Oklahoma, in Norman, Oklahoma, they're also looking to cut police funding by order of the Oklahoma mayor. Now there's a petition to recall that mayor. And in Michigan, some 60,000 have circulated petitions signed on to curtail the governor's emergency orders. Remember, Governor Whitmer using all kinds of orders on coronavirus. And the folks say, we're tired of this. What would Walt Disney think? What would Walt Disney think? The Disney Channel's animated series, The Owl House, now featuring what is believed to be Disney's first bisexual lead character. Show creator says, originally the execs didn't want a bisexual or gay character on the channel, but They changed their minds. You know why? Because they got extorted and pushed into it. You have to be careful what your children are watching, even if it's on the Disney Channel. You talk about getting hot, and you say, is it hot enough for you? How about this in Death Valley, California? Yesterday, 130 degrees. That's one of the highest temps ever recorded. The hottest since 1913. Well, of course it has to be global warming. Absolutely. It's the desert, you idiots. It's a desert. It's going to get hot from time to time. Don't you think? Nope. Nope. It's going to be global warming. You just can't deal with some stupidity sometimes. You just have to smile and say, okay.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Tom Wellington and his staff at Wellington Environmental have certainly been busy over the last several weeks, making sure businesses and hospitals and nursing homes are clear of COVID-19. As you begin to reopen, try to restart your business, I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. I'll give you a phone number in a moment. They can come in, assess the situation at a very reasonable cost, and make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And even after you're open, if something comes up and you're not sure, again, you want to contact Wellington Environmental. And not only for COVID-19, for any other threat, mold, any toxic situation. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. In business for 30 years, you know they're doing it right. Be well with Wellington Environmental. I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I believe that it is time for Section 4 of Amendment 25 to be put in place, and his cabinet should send to Nancy Pelosi, the speaker, as I think it's identified in the Constitution, that this man should be removed from office. Section 25 should be put in place. He is dangerous. He is tearing up again, you know, this country, undermining our democracy.
That is Congresswoman Maxine Waters, Democrat of California. And here she is at this point in August, less than 90 days, 80 days or something like that from the election, and they can't wait. Let's find some way to get him out, because we need to get him out before the election. They tried that, of course, with the Russian collusion investigation for 2.5 years. They were trying to go against the will of the people to throw him out on now what we know, false, fabricated lies presented as facts. And so now Congresswoman Waters saying, you know, let's apply the 25th Amendment. And under the 25th Amendment, the president can be removed if he's, quote, unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office. Now remember, supposedly the acting attorney general at one time had suggested that, according to Comey, Rod Rosenstein. But remember, he also said, Comey's lying. I never said that. But why not bring it up again now as we go into the election and the Democrat convention launching tonight? Why not once again say, hey, we still have a chance to get him out even if we lose the election? Do you expect anybody at that convention being held starting tonight that they're going to bring up the 25th Amendment? They might be talking about it as a fallback. I mean, you're already getting reports from some of them that, you know, what if What if Trump wins? Oh, God, it's going to make him so upset. And then he won't leave office. What are we going to do then? You think I'm just making that up? You think that's something out of the vast reaches, vacancy, possibly, in my mind, that I just come up with that? Let me let you hear this report that appeared on CNN and NNN.
Some are now wondering, how might President Trump react should he lose come November?
Have you ever considered what would happen if the election result came out as you being the winner and Trump refused to leave?
Yes, I have.
It's also crossed the mind of Trump's former fixer.
I fear that if he loses the election in 2020, that there will never be a peaceful transition of power.
So if that happens, then what happens next?
My best guess would be if he loses the election and it's, you know, he does whatever court challenges he's going to do and they all fail, a new president will be sworn in as of January 20th of next year. And then that person would control the military and the Department of Justice and all the levers of government and presumably would order him removed from the White House.
And the only person who could be that new president agrees.
I promise you, I'm absolutely convinced they will escort him from the White House with great dispatch.
Of course, the last words from former VP Joe Biden, saying if we win this election and Trump won't leave, we will dispatch him immediately. Before I go any further on this point, you do recall that during the debates with Hillary in 2016 election, the issue was raised then to each of the candidates. Will you accept defeat if the vote comes back and gives it to your opponent? Will you accept that as the will of the people? And Trump said, well, I don't know. Let's see what happens, see how fair it is. And immediately Hillary just went on a little hissy. You can't do that. Of course you have to accept it. You just have to accept it. You might not like it, but if it's the will of the people, that's their vote, you have to accept it. You don't continue to challenge it. You don't fight it. That's the way we do this in this country. This is a democracy. We accept the vote. And, of course, the night Hillary lost, she did not make any public statement conceding. I still wish I could have been inside the Hillary camp that night to watch her as the votes continue to come in, to watch as the blue states for the Electoral College be crushed by Trump, and to watch her twisting slowly in the wind and then turning on all of her staff members. Had to be their fault, not her fault, and of course, she never has really admitted it's her fault, and she continued to fight and persist constantly. Now, I would have to say, with that attitude, what if she had been president and she lost a re-election? Do you think she would have gone quietly? But what they want to do is jump to put that attitude onto Trump that if he loses the election, will he go? To the fact that CNN devotes, I only played a minute of that clip. It's not just a theory for them. It's what they expect to happen. And with Maxine Waters calling for the 25th Amendment, she and other Democrats are thinking, we're going to have to be ready for a fallback. We've got to do something with this guy. And Democrats have also said, if he should win again, we will once again initiate impeachment. They're just not going to let this presidency survive. That is another reason for you to make sure you're voting, not just for the president, but to hold the Senate. Hopefully to flip the House and win the House. But if you fail to win the House, the same Democrats will stay there, and Nancy Pelosi will more than likely be Speaker again, at least for a period of time. With her age and everything, I don't know if she can go another 4 years, but she would be there as the House Speaker. And if the Senate is lost to the Democrats, this time when the House issues its articles of impeachment and sends it to the Senate for the trial, the impeachment, the Senate will convict him, regardless of how fake the evidence is. But, of course, that's still a play down the road. Right now they're saying, what if he loses and he won't leave? Well, that's a big what if he loses. But let's just go with that for a moment. Pete Callahan is a CNN legal analyst. And he wrote this piece. He said, President Donald Trump talks a lot about staying in office longer than his two-term, eight-year limit allowed by the Constitution. Police may assume he's joking, just needling his enemies. He couldn't possibly be serious, could he? This is a legal analyst, and he doesn't get that. Trump knows he can't stay. By the Constitution, he can't stay. And do you remember Obama even saying, yeah, I'd like to have another 4 years? You don't remember that? Saying, well, I'd like to. You know, he wanted to stay. And his next best bet was getting Hillary elected. Which, by the way, very quickly, quick diversion. I've got so many things coming at me over the weekend. I'm making notes left and right. I got to include this, got to include that. And then come Monday morning, everything's got to be start all over again. I got so much material in front of me. You would be amazed at how much gets thrown out of this program. Sometimes it's not a matter of what I include, but what I exclude. And one of them being, it just came to me again, I forgot to mention it earlier, and that is that Obama, according to sources, not buying into Biden having a chance to win. Basically saying Biden will find some way to F it up. Pretty much his words, according to the source. Biden will find some way to F it up. You supply the F word. They're not sold on Biden having a chance one way or the other. Well, they're going to put on their best face for the convention. But reality smacks them in the face from time to time. All right, back to this legal analyst, Paul Callahan, his article for CNN. And he says, maybe we shouldn't be so quick to dismiss the possibility that Trump sometimes means what he so often says. With Trump, you don't know. He said, at the moment, critics are accusing the president of hedging his bets in the upcoming election by starving the U.S. Postal Service of funding, as the agency faces a monstrous task of delivering a record number of mail-in ballots during the pandemic. See, that's their fallback, too. They're saying that Trump, claiming and complaining endlessly about voter fraud, and saying Democrats will use millions of fraudulent mail-in ballots to steal the election. Again, he refuses to say he will accept the election results. And again, he says, according to this analyst attorney, he said, maybe he's just trying to agitate opponents. I've told you before, I think many times Trump does say something just to do old rope-a-dope. You get the media all fired up, they go off on some little chase that never should be done anyway, but they do it. And once one of them does, they have herd instinct. Follow that guy. He must be onto something. And, of course, in this analytical piece for CNN, this attorney says, the peaceful and voluntary presidential transition is one of the enduring glories of American democracy. The president was established by George Washington, who refused to run for a third term despite pressure to do so in 1797. And, of course, he talks about Nixon supporters in 60 claimed voter fraud was orchestrated by LBJ supporters in Texas. And Mayor Daley's Democrat machine in Chicago tilted a very close race to JFK. But despite all that, Nixon dropped any fraud challenge and accepted Kennedy as the president. And then Al Gore did the same thing when the Supreme Court ruled George W. Bush the winner by a razor-thin majority. I've contested Florida votes in the 2000 election. Remember the Chads? Hanging Chads? Let's be very clear about this if you have any doubt at all. The U.S. Constitution specifies Article 2, Section 1. After his election, the president would hold office for a term of 4 years. 4 years, and then he could be reelected again after 4 years. But by the 22nd Amendment, He cannot go for past 8 years. But again, you've got folks like Maxine Waters making their noise.
I want to have an injunction against the president based on all of the actions that he has taken. That's so obvious that it is political, that he is trying to destroy the post office because he believes that mail-in voting, absentee voting, will defeat him, and he will do anything. It was referred to by one of my friends as the scorched earth approach. Mm-hmm. This president will do anything to try and stay in office.
And yeah, the Democrats have that attitude. I told you the other day, they're going to be playing, and they immediately start doing it when Kamala Harris is picked. They're going to be playing the race and gender card, that if you vote against this ticket, you've got to be racist, you must be sexist. And now they're saying, in case he loses, we need to be ready with the 25th Amendment. And of course, if, you know, they're saying if we lose, we need to be ready with the 25th. And if we can't get him out any other way, then we got to do something else. They're always going to be looking for some way. Well, we'll get into that a little bit more detail before we wrap up the hour. And also the whole issue, the raised by some, is Kamala Harris even an American citizen? Can she be VP according to the Constitution? Yeah, the birther issue is back, and I'll explain that. And then the most atrocious act against Donald Trump.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So we have Maxine Waters, of course, going back to a phrase by Hillary Clinton. Remember when Hillary Clinton called all the Trump supporters deplorables? Oh, and let me remind you, by the way, former FBI agent Smurf, oh, stroke, still Smurf to me, said, I was in a Walmart, and I could smell them. They have a smell. And, of course, when Hillary said they're deplorable, deplorable people. Well, that phrase is being brought back to life by Maxine Waters referring to Trump directly.
This is a president that is the most deplorable human being that I've ever encountered in my life, and he's undermining our democracy. We cannot take any more of this president. This president is not only attacking the person that was just appointed or selected by Biden to be his vice president, and he is not hesitant to do it. This man has no shame. The name calling, he called a nasty, on and on and on. I don't know how much more the American people can take.
And again, that's Maxine Waters, California Democrat. And she was talking about the birther issue, which has surfaced again. Donald Trump, during the campaign against Hillary, did raise the issue. I may put it this way. He kind of added fuel to that whole issue, reference Obama. And now a question was raised, reference Kamala Harris, and Trump is not totally throwing it out. I wish he would, because it has no validity. I'm going to get into that in more detail in a moment, explain how it came to be, and who might also be partly responsible for it, not Trump. And in fact, when it came to the Obama birther issue, it was a Hillary camp that began to question his credentials when she was running against him. And it didn't hold up very long, so they moved away from it, but she planted the seed, and that's why it came back around after she won, and then that's where you had Trump facing Hillary. And, of course, right now, the other thing everyone wants you to believe is that there will be no fraud with mail-in balloting. Everybody can vote by mail. 37 states ready to do it that way, and yet are acknowledging they can't do it. And they just want you to believe there's no evidence of voter fraud by mail. I'm looking at some documentation created by the Heritage Foundation, finding 1,290 instances proven of voter fraud, 1,113 criminal convictions, 48 civil penalties, judicial finding, official finding 17. And if those acts were all in person, then you don't think voter fraud by mail happens? And some of those do involve voter fraud as well by mail. You're already allowed to vote without showing an ID if you want to. They don't have to know that's who you are. You find somebody's utility bill, maybe a copy of one of their checks, you walk in, they're going to take it. Now, they take it as a basically, they let you vote, and then they'll decide later if they're going to uphold it. If you have ID, they can come back. But voter fraud is very possible on both sides, I'll remind you. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll begin with Jake Tapper interviewing Senator Cory Booker. I want you to hear the entire piece about the birther issue regarding Kamala Harris. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Oh, I can feel my face when I'm with you. My love is. And I know she'll be the death of me. At least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me. The worst is yet to come. All the misery was necessary. We're what deep in love. Yes, I know.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So let me ask you, President Trump and his campaign have been floating this false, completely false notion that Senator Harris, who was born in Oakland, California in 1964 and is an American, may not be eligible to be vice president. Were you surprised when they started to do that?
You know, this is something I think that many Americans know. I know it for my family, is when you have African-American women who are rising up in positions that there have never been African-American women in before, that people are going to viciously attack them on gender and race. The gendered words that this president has been using about Kamala, attacking her in extraordinarily awful ways, just reflects the demeaning, degrading language he's used about blacks, about black and brown places, about Congress people, telling them to go back where they've come from when they were born in this country. This is nothing new, nothing surprising. Yeah. What I don't think Trump understands is that Kamala Harris has been fighting this fight her entire career, rising to positions where she was the first African-American woman in time and time again. So if there's anybody that's ready for this kind of mess, it's Kamala Harris. And so Donald Trump can pick a fight if he wants, but he's the proverbial bully in the playground that is about to get knocked out when he steps up against this dynamic duo that will beat him in November.
The words of Senator Cory Booker in response to CNN's Jake Tapper about the birther issue that Tapper says Trump and his campaign have been floating false, completely false notion. I'm going to get into that in more detail. It did not originate with the Trump campaign, but I'll give you some more details in a moment. Let's look at the facts of the Constitution. to be vice president, of course, you also have to meet the qualifications to be president. I mean, you are going to be the person that then replaces the president if something happens and the president cannot fulfill his or her duties. So, five qualifications for president, as directed by the Constitution. You must be a natural-born citizen of the United States. That's the first issue, natural-born U.S. citizen. To serve as vice president, the individual must be a natural-born U.S. citizen. Second point, 35 years of age or older. To be vice president, you got to be 35 years or older. And then also, you must be a resident for 14 years. In other words, you have to live in the U.S. for 14 years, and the same, of course, applies to the VP, because if you're going to step in to the presidency, you have to qualify to be president as well. So here's what happened the other day, and we pointed out the other day. Reference to Kamala Harris was born in Oakland, California. There's no question about that. Her mother was Indian, her father Jamaican. Now, questions have been raised that, well, did they have a citizenship at the time? They don't have to. They don't have to have a U.S. citizenship. If she's born in this country, it's basically accepted. We've had these discussions in great detail before, that phrase is born of soil, basically. That if you're born in the country, then you automatically have a U.S. citizenship. Jus soli, birth by soil. And your parents don't have to be an American citizen one way or the other. We already know that because we've seen numerous Russians and others being brought in, spending their last 2 to 3 months pregnant in Miami, living the high life so the child can be born here, and then they go back to their native country, be it Russia or China, and then they actually have a U.S. citizenship. So then they, when they get older, can come to the U.S. and in turn bring family members in. So here's what happened the other day. Newsweek magazine. Now, how it originated, I can't tell you. I don't know the backstory on it. But Dr. John Eastman, a professor of law, published an op-ed. Now, whether or not he was asked to do so or he thought, let me just raise this issue and kind of deal with it right away. And there have been some rumblings that, again, since she's born to parents that were not maybe U.S. citizens at the time, which is still a debate on some points, and I could care less. It has no bearing on the actual facts as to if they were U.S. citizens or not. So he wrote his op-ed, and he actually promoted it on his Twitter machine as saying, is Kamala Harris eligible for the office of vice president? Here's my article published by Newsweek exploring the issues. Short answer, it depends. Well, it's a good tease. He doesn't give you the answer. He just says, it depends. Well, I got to read. What's it depend upon? So then he wrote his article, and that triggered the media frenzy. And the press began to ask Trump about it. He said, I'm kind of aware of the article, but didn't really have any interest. And from that, they suddenly exploded to the fact that Trump is pushing the birther issue like he did with Obama. He didn't start it. Reporters came to him to ask about it. He said, I'm aware of it. Haven't really taken an interest in it. No, that's not good enough, because if you're aware of it, you must be behind it. It got to the point that Newsweek magazine felt compelled to issue an editor's note to calm it down. Part of one of what they wrote is, some of our readers have reacted strongly to the op-ed we published by Dr. John Eastman, assuming it to be an attempt to ignite a racist conspiracy theory around Kamala Harris's candidacy. Dr. Eastman was focusing on a long-standing, somewhat arcane legal debate about the precise meaning of the phrase subject to the jurisdiction thereof in the Citizenship Clause of the 14th Amendment. His essay has no connection whatsoever to so-called birtherism, the racist 2008 conspiracy theory aimed at delegitimizing then-candidate Barack Obama by claiming, baselessly, that he was born not in Hawaii, but in Kenya. We share our readers' revulsion of these vile lies. That's the response from Newsweek, in part. And they issued another, saying this op-ed is being used by some as a tool to perpetuate racism and xenophobia. We apologize. The essay by John Eastman was intended to explore a minority legal argument about the definition who's a natural-born citizen in the United States. But to many, it suddenly went wild with them. And again, Newsweek magazine did this. And even added, readers hold us accountable for all we publish, as they should. And we hold ourselves accountable too. We should have recognized the potential, even probability, that this could explode into the birther issue all over again. And here's their statement, in direct statement from Newsweek. This essay was an attempt to examine being a legal argument about the difference between natural-born and naturalized, the latter being ineligible to hold the office of president. And in the days since the op-ed was published, we saw it was shared in forums and social media networks notorious for disinformation. All of us at Newsweek are horrified. This op-ed gave rise to a wave of vile birthism directed at Senator Harris. Many readers had demanded we retract the essay, but we believe in being transparent and are therefore allowing it to remain online with this note attached. You know, stop and think right there. We've been demanded that we retract the essay, but we believe in being transparent. We're going to let it stay. Well, I'll give them credit for that. Can you take the same argument for those demanding Confederate statues be ripped down all across the nation, or even a statue of George Washington because he once owned slaves, that it should be ripped down? Or could we take the belief that Newsweek just said, we believe it should remain, but with a note or an asterisk or some summation attached? No, you can't do that, because that wouldn't work as effectively as they want on the left. If you're born in the U.S. or born to U.S. citizens, you are considered to be a U.S. citizen. Unless you're born to a foreign diplomat, your birth certificate will be proof of your U.S. citizenship. And again, we're talking about the 14th Amendment and the Immigration and Nationality Act. A person born within and subject to the jurisdiction of the U.S. automatically acquires U.S. citizenship. You may be a citizen if one or more of your parents have been naturalized prior to your birth and you're born elsewhere. You may be. There's no doubt that she was born in Oakland, California. I'm not even going to contest it, and I don't want you to encourage that kind of argument or anything else. But I just wanted to point out to you, when the reporters came to Trump, he hadn't been saying anything about it. But they wanted to stir it up, as did Hillary Clinton against Obama when she was running against him in the Democrat primary. It's the Hillary Clinton campaign that initiated the birther claim and issues about Trump being born in Kenya, not in Hawaii. Now, if that were true, he could not be president. It's not true. And Kamala Harris is, by law, meeting the obligations under the Constitution to be VP and president. Your job, make sure she's not elected VP and has that chance. The attack on Trump, when we continue.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Let me begin by thanking you again for supporting this program. I was told the other day that, and I don't see the stats, I don't see them, I just deal with what I can on getting the program on the air. But I was told we had a little hiccup in the app, the online app, and our online broadcast by freedomkxn.com, if you go to freedomkxen.com, because it got overloaded. We had more folks tuning in to listen that it kind of shut it down briefly. That's what I was told. I don't know. I like to believe it, but maybe it could have been something else. But I know you're out there. I know it's building, not only by the terrestrial signal of the station, but by that app, and I appreciate it. And, of course, all the other conservative voices across the networks. There's never been a greater need in a time, that's for sure. Because you cannot rely on the mainstream media to do its job. Now, on this program, with 50 years in electronic journalism, I do strive for balance on some issues, but I'll still make my point made. I'll make a point, I'll have an opinion, but I also try to make sure the facts are clearly presented to you. Then you can make up your mind. And there was a time you'd say and believe the same thing about the network news. I'm not even talking about cable, I'm talking about network news. ABC, CBS, NBC. Media Research just analyzed all statements made by reporters, anchors, nonpartisan sources, such as experts or voters, made on CBS Evening News, NBC Nightly News, ABC World News Tonight from June 1 through July 31. And they found that the networks were 150 times more negative when covering Trump compared to Joe Biden, showing that Biden had received 8 positive evaluation statements with only 4 negative comments about him in a 2-month period. But when it came to Trump, coverage overwhelmingly negative. The networks I just lead made a whopping 364 negative evaluative statements about Trump over the same time. They did find a way to make 34 positive statements. One of them might have been, Trump is still breathing. I have no idea what they said. And during the period of the survey, those three, ABC, CBS, NBC, focused 512 minutes of airtime on Trump over a 2-month period, 9 times more than the 58 minutes spent on Biden. This is a sitting president. And again, when they spent that 512 minutes on him, it was not positive, as we just said. And then you have this most recent attack that the mainstream media is also complicit in and making sure it gets told to an extent. But they also realize we might be going over the line. This might be one step too far. But let's just kind of stick our toe over and see if we can't stir something up. When Congressman John Lewis died, some of the Democrats immediately tweeted out to Trump, "Don't say anything. We don't want to hear anything from you." Talking about his legacy as a civil rights leader. "We don't want to hear anything from you because we know you're a racist. Just don't say anything. Let us mourn in peace without you getting involved." And then we had this event that happened Saturday. I told you Friday, President Trump was flying to New York to see his younger brother who was sick, had been sick for some time. Willie passed away Saturday. And Trump in his statement said he was not just my brother, he was my best friend. He'll be greatly missed, but we will meet again. Now, many who knew the two of them had considered that, in their opinion, Robert Trump was the good Trump and Donald Trump was the bad Trump. And by that, they mean that Robert and Donald had obviously affection for each other, but also had different ways of doing things. And they had a falling out a while back, but it's still blood and still family. I've told you before, if Ruth Bader Ginsburg passes away, I'm not going to say anything bad about her. I feel for Joe Biden if he's battling Alzheimer's and so forth. But the left has no such feelings. a bishop in a religious affiliation stated, "Dear Grim Reaper, you took the hashtag wrong Trump." Hashtag wrong Trump. Another one put out on his tweet, "To be honest, first thing I do every morning and the last thing I do every night is check if see if Trump has been arrested, infected, or died. Anyone with me?" Hashtag wrong Trump. Another one, "What did he promise the devil for the Grim Reaper to take the wrong Trump?" In other words, they are saying, and Twitter's allowing it to go on, wishing death to the president. No stoppage of their machines, no Facebook jail, no Twit machine jail. They can go on and say, "The wrong Trump died." It's not just an attack on the president, it's an attack upon his brother and his loss. How many of you in the left think that's appropriate? I'd say shame on you, but you apparently have no shame, so it means nothing to you. Back tomorrow. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.